start this month's board meeting with a discussion on primary financial statements. And I give the floor to Aida.
Thank you, Hans. And yes, we are back. And you did give us permission to begin the balloting process in July, and we have begun it. However, in the process of staff drafting the board's proposals, we have identified an issue where we would like your input, which is set out in Agenda Paper 21. And the issue is how to classify in the statement of profit or loss income and expenses from investments in integral associate and joint ventures other than a share of profit or loss from these investments. So I will, without further ado, I will jump straight into the question number one, which we have for you, which is do you agree with the staff recommendation to require entities to classify income and expenses from integral associate and joint ventures in the integral associate and joint ventures category of the statement of profit or loss, and specify in the exposure draft that income and expenses from integral associate and joint ventures include, in addition to the share of profit or loss of integral associate and joint ventures, also impairment losses and reversal of impairment losses on these integral associate and joint ventures, and gains and losses on disposals of integral associate and joint ventures. Of course, this is providing they do not meet IFRS 5 criteria, in which case they will be settled. So over to you for discussion.
Françoise.
Thank you. And thank you to the team for bringing this paper. I think a technical decision was needed because we had not debated that before. And I happen to be the board member whose views are reported in paragraph 9 in the form of a few bullet points. And so I feel that to be fair to my fellow members and also to the public, I should provide the accompanying logic to these bullet points. And basically, I think we need to think of why we've made the distinction between integral and non-integral joint ventures and associates in the first place. In doing that, we have acknowledged that investment in integral joint ventures and associates did not fit investing activities. In other words, they are generating economic benefits to the entity in combination with other assets of the entity in such a way that the operating return of the reporting entity would be affected if they were disposed of. That could happen in different forms. It must be cost savings that are reduced. It can be the critical mass for R&D expenditures that is no longer met or reduced. It can be some risks that are monitored to date in the supply chain. I mean, it can take various forms, but if these associates and joint ventures are integral in the way we have defined them, they have an impact in combination with the other assets on the operating profit of the entity. So the decision made by the staff to create a category, that could be an appropriate response if, in my view, and only if, the only economic benefits that were derived from these investments were in the form of the share of profit of the associate and joint ventures revenue generating activities. But that is not the case. So, as I said, I mean, because these integral joint ventures and associates contribute to the revenue-generating activities of the reporting entity, the impairment losses, reversals, gains or losses on disposals, investments, they belong to the operating expenses or income exactly in the same way as the impairment losses and gains on disposal on other long-term assets of the entity. And therefore, I mean, that's another way of looking at it. I mean, the two reasons, none of the two reasons why we have decided to isolate the share of profit of integral joint ventures and associates outside of the operating profit, none of these two reasons were met. One of the reasons was that the share of profit was a post-tax, post-financing item. Obviously, these are not. And also the other reason was that, in fact, the share of profit was part of originating from outside the consolidating entity, but the investment and the expenses, the income and expenses on the investment are not. So therefore, I thought that this issue should be debated, and of course I promote the solution I've outlined.
Nick?
Thank you. I mean, like Francoise, I'd like to start by thanking the staff for the paper. It's important to get some clarification here. I do support the staff recommendation for that. There are two reasons I do that. First of all, I think there's a logic, and I think the position that is proposed in the paper is consistent with many other decisions that we've taken through this project in terms of, for instance, forex gains and losses, ensuring that these are aligned with the category where possible where those gains and losses occur, in terms of expenses that relate to investing activities, which we have agreed can be alongside in the investing category. And so if there had been any other outcome in those ballot drafts, I would be very surprised to see any other outcome than the one that's captured in the staff recommendation today. So I was entirely comfortable through that process of looking at the various ballot drafts that we have looked at to see that solution. The second reason really is around utility, and it's almost 2 years ago since we first discussed this issue in terms of being able to isolate an operating number, and there were a number of reasons for doing that. But for me, an important element of that is that this was to ensure that that operating profit number did reflect the consolidated operating activities and then was consistent with the revenue number and would allow, albeit perhaps with some adjustments for various factors, but would allow a consistent basis for users to calculate a margin number. And that, in terms of the feedback that we've had on our proposals to date through the outreach we've done, has been such a positive feature and has been so well received. And I worry that a change away from the current position, as is captured in the staff recommendation, will actually open us to derision from users on this. It will not serve the purpose in terms of the way that we have structured our subtotals in the P&L to date. So really, for me, it's very clear. I'm not surprised by where I accept that perhaps this hadn't been fully debated by the board. I think that's a matter of fact. But I wasn't surprised by the logic of where we landed, and to me, it delivers the utility that users are looking for from this project in terms of the structure of P&L.
Daryl?
I understand the argument for saying that the additional expenses that we're talking about are operating in nature, and I think that's correct. They are essentially, but then I think the specific return that we're talking about here from Integral Associates is also operating in nature. It's part of the operating activities of the entity. And so we've decided to separate it out, not because we don't believe it's operating, but because we believe that the way it is determined is different. I then looked at the second part of it, which is to say, having now identified that we have this separate line item that talks about integrated associates, what would I expect to have captured in that line? And I think I support where the staff have landed, because I think that my natural expectation looking at the financial statements would be to see everything in one place. And so as much as I understand exactly where you're coming from, and I think it was useful to have your explanation to the back of that, I think it is that sort of inherent expectation that you come to the financial statements with that has sort of led me to this. And I also appreciate the fact that you've brought this back, because it's not something I necessarily would have got to on my own.
Jung Woo?
Thank you. This is an interesting discussion, but I don't agree with the steps recommendation on question 1A. The reason, because what I'm saying is, before explaining my logic, may I ask that when we decided to separate that integral part category from the other categories? You are suggesting the separate category for integral associated joint ventures, right?
Right.
So based on your page 7 of 14 in appendix, if you see paragraph 45, there are 6 categories here you suggested. The prominent new category is integral associated joint ventures. Mm-hmm. This is a new category.
No, this is...
As you know, a long time ago, we made the decision that we would separate the results of integral associates and joint ventures from the operating activities and from the investing categories and present them separately. During the drafting process on the document, we introduced the notion of categories because that actually just made the drafting a lot easier. So we introduced the notion of an operating category, investing and financing category, and we introduced the notion of an integral associates and joint ventures category to capture the income and expenses that were arising from the associates and joint ventures. The notion that integral associates and joint ventures and their associated expenses should be presented together was introduced in the pre-ballot stage, so it's been in there for quite a while. We introduced the actual category of integral associates and joint ventures slightly later in the process, but that was just a tidying up drafting exercise rather than anything else.
If we have made that kind of decision to create a new category of this integral associate joint ventures, it's okay. But based on your analysis of the paper, you just explained that last January 2018, we decided to separate the investment from integral associates and joint ventures as a specific line item, rather than as a kind of a independent category from the other big categories. I remember that kind of decision. So I'm not sure, because we need to clarify that question first, and we can go to the question one.
Are you saying there should be part of another category, or are you just saying they should be treated as a non-category? Right? I think Rossi was just drafting aid, wasn't it?
I think you're essentially being asked to vote on exactly what you're asking, which is,
okay.
Is there actually the sort of more of a notion of a category where it's both the share of profit and items of income and expense associated with it, or was it just, or should it just be about the share of profit or loss and only that? I think that's basically what the staff are asking you to vote on today.
But maybe just to clarify, I think even if it were just share of profit or loss you were thinking, I think referring to it as a category can have a one line item. It was just for us to help the logic flow in how proposals were set out. So it wasn't meant as some kind of alteration of the decisions you have made. It was just like we didn't talk about income taxes being a category, but we still called it a category here. It was just to make the drafting logical in response to all the comments we had during the balloting process.
So what you are saying is this is not a kind of prominent category that will be presented on the statement of profit and loss, right?
Yeah, so there wasn't. So this is a drafting aid, so we don't expect as a result of this that entities would have like headings, category of integral associate, nothing like that. Often there will probably be just share of profit, and that's
okay. Okay, in that case, it's okay, because the paragraph 45 on page 7 might suggest you are creating new category in addition to other category. That's why I was a little confused. But as you said, this is kind of great, very specific line item of the investment in associates. It's okay, and I'm making a kind of a those are everything related to each other in one and the same place That's okay, but I don't want to create new category on the face of statement of profit and loss. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not sure I understand your point. Because what we are saying is that we, in our drafting, we're describing something called the integral associates and joint ventures category, income and expenses, and our proposal is that that category would include the share of profit of associates and joint ventures. It would include any impairment on those or any gains and losses on those integral associates and joint ventures. Now, if you were in a situation where the only income and expenses that you had in relation to an integral associate and joint venture was the share of profit, then it would be perfectly fine just to show the share of profit. It would also be perfectly fine if you had several of those expenses to show each of those individually. If you wanted to, you might want to aggregate them into an integral associates and joint ventures category if you wanted to do that, but there would be no requirement to present an integral associates and joint ventures category on the face. Does that clarify the position?
That depends on maybe the case by case, but just that my comment is please do not create a kind of explicit category that will be present on the face. Do not create a kind of subtotal, new subtotal.
We already do have
a subtotal,
which is operating profit plus the results of associates and joint ventures. So we already have made a decision to have that subtotal there.
Yeah.
But there's no subtotal of integral category, if that's what you mean. So that is not required. As Rachel was saying, companies may voluntarily choose to do so if there's more than one line item, but this is not at all required. Yeah.
Okay, in that case, it's okay.
Mika.
Frankly speaking, I'm not in favor of the distinguishing between integral and non-integral on the presentation on the face of the financial statement, because I believe that that requires significant judgment over such distinguishment, and that will lead to the inconsistent presentation on the face. So having said that, maybe because of that, I truly think I support the staff's recommendation, because the board's general approach already determined should be consistently applied to this important item as well. So all the related income and expense of the integral joint ventures and associates should be on the same place. Mm-hmm. That's all together in the same place.
I understand now why I'm sitting next to Rika this month, because I also didn't support the separation of integral. But in the context of that, that is the board's decision, and how do we work with it? I think, as several people said at the beginning, it's very helpful to have this paper, because I was confused with the drafting, with some inconsistency in logic in some of the ballot drafts, and understanding that the integral associates and joint ventures was called income and expense from integral associates and joint ventures because it included these gains or losses. So I think it's healthy that you brought it back and have us discuss it. And I do support the staff recommendation. I think some of the reasons Nick laid out also influenced me, as did, in my mind, the things that we're moving up to integral, I think we're moving them up from the investing category. And so to me, when I think about where these gains and losses, the impairments, the reversal of impairments would be, I would be thinking, would it make sense to present them in investing if we have pulled out the JVs and associates on which they're based? So, in contrast with Francoise, who was thinking of them as being in operating and do you pull them out, I was thinking of do they stay in investing and get pulled out? Because, again, to me, these the gains and losses and impairment are on a certain subcategory of investments. So, thinking through the decision that we made as a board that says we separate these integral associates and joint ventures, I think it makes sense to move the impairments and the reversals of impairments up, and then to explain in the base, to explain in the document why we're calling it income and expense from integral associates and joint ventures rather than just share of profit of integral associates and joint ventures. So question now for the staff. Do you want, you set out a separate question too, comments about the drafting. A high level, do you want them now or do you want to get through this?
point. Can we get through this first and then move on to the drafting? Thank you, Mary.
So can I see who supports the staff's recommendation?
13.
Thank you.
Question two,
yeah. So we have included suggested drafting consistent with the recommendation you just supported, and we just wanted to see if you have any significant comments or concerns with what we have proposed on drafting in the appendix.
Yes, Mary?
Two things that I just wanted to mention and ask the team to think about in the drafting. One is the basis paragraphs that you put out focus on the views of a board member. And that doesn't feel like the style that we normally use. I think that these are all issues that the board as a whole considered. And I would, my preference would be that we lay it out as views that were considered by the board, because we say at the beginning of the basis that different board members gave different weights, to arguments. I think it was all part of our deliberations, even if ultimately some of us didn't agree with that view. I don't feel like isolating it as there was one board member who said X. And the second thing is specifically about DC81. I'm not making specific suggestions at this time, but given the division of views that we had, I would maybe just suggest that we think about whether we are so absolute in the language in terms of explaining why we concluded that the share of profit or loss of integral and associates and joint ventures are split out. I think we did reach the conclusion that it was more useful information to do that, but I think we're going to get a lot of comment on this point, so I was a little hesitant about the wording on that one. Happy to talk with you about it offline unless you'd like to do it further at this time. Those were the only two big points that I had.
Given that you mentioned these two points, Mary, I just wondered if I had any reactions to what Mary said or other ones which were worth offline.
Given I'm the one board member who made the comment about the difficulty of differentiating between integral and non-integral, I only suggested saying it was one board member in case others didn't want those sorts of concerns to be attributed to them, but I don't mind if it's not described as being one board member. I'm happy with that.
Councillor Azza.
Well, I mean, on this very important topic of whether we mention board members or not, my preference is that we do not, but I don't object that we do. My only point here is that, Daryl very kindly indicated that my accompanying logic was useful, so I would like it to be reproduced in the basis for conclusions. I hope that's agreeable.
Tom?
I want to agree with Mary that we discuss the issues, not how many board members. I think that's the better way to go. And so that was my comment, though, is I think there's a general view that when we do anything that people are going to comment on it. And so if we're going to suggest that there were different views out there, they have to be present, because just there's a generic, like if we give a definition, people will say it's a good definition or not. If there was a big discussion about an alternate definition, then we need to give some sense of what the alternate definition was. So I just, in that, it would be good to get away from a board member and also just to try and be clear what was the contention for people to think about.
So you were saying that it's not clear enough as it is currently?
I didn't find it that clear, no.
Okay.
But I think the challenge the staff have there is I don't think... I don't agree with this whole integral non-integral split. That's my basic issue, and my basic issue is I don't agree with the integral non-integral split because I don't think we have a way to describe very precisely what we think is integral or non-integral, and so I don't have an alternative definition. It's a more fundamental, so I'm not sure.
Well, okay, just on I was one of the people, like my initial instinct was where you, Sue, is. Eventually, though, I came to look at that definition. I think you may even want to rework the order here. BC 81 is critical to where we ended up. And it shouldn't be in contrast. You know, the board concluded that, and we've got a lot of in contrast and inappropriate, it ought to be kind of up front, is the share of profit of integral and adjoint ventures should not be in the investing category because they do not satisfy the definition of the investing category that they are independent from. And that's kind of leads us to where we are and why we did the split. And then, so I'd rather be up front with our main thing, which to me convinced me that the split was reasonable, and then say if there was some concern about doing the split, then bring that second. But I think the rationale that drove what we did should be first, and then the other stuff second. This is just ordering.
Yeah, I mean, the rationale is...
To me, 81's the key rationale. When I go through, is they're not independent for the reasons Françoise laid out when she opened the whole discussion.
Okay, I think the comments suggest that maybe we need to
look again at the at the drafting and recirculate to the board, particularly in relation, I think, to the basis that we'll have another go at redrafting, recirculate to the board, and seek your comments on it.
Because maybe just to summarise what I've heard, I think there was two kind of competing views here. One is that on the premise that the cash flows from integral associates and joint ventures are not independent from main business activities, that makes the distinction useful and it shall be made. And then there's the other view that even though this premise might be perfectly valid, such split can't be achieved in sufficiently consistent fashion to provide useful information. And I think it's for us to try to kind of give the light of this view that I think Rika, Sue, perhaps Mary have, but, you know, conveying the board's collective view that this is something that we are proposing and we want to get feedback on. And the view is that we think possibly, as a board as a whole, that we could make such a split.
Sue?
On this drafting point, I don't feel strongly on, you know, saying one board member or whatever, but I think the only advantage for me of saying one board member is that we don't detract from what the overall position of the board is. So overall, the board has voted for integral, non-integral. Overall, the board has voted just this meeting on the location of the other income and expenses. While I agree it's good to acknowledge that there were other perspectives, particularly if it helps people think about things when they're answering questions, I think we need to be really careful to draft it in a way that it doesn't dilute the overall set of proposals that was voted for by a majority of the board. So I think we just have to be really careful of that in redrafting.
Pastor Raza.
Yeah, I would like to echo what Sue is saying in a certain way. I mean, I'm thinking eventually, unfortunately, a bit differently, but I think we're aligned. My point is that I think what I hear from those who are not supporting the distinction is that they don't believe that it can be done faithfully. So basically that we have not proposed definitions and guidance that would lead to this faithful outcome. So basically, and I guess you don't believe that you can, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you doubt that improving the guidance would lead to a better outcome. So this is really commenting on the definition guidance, so basically what we have in the IFRS 12 amendments. Whereas here we're discussing really the relevance to users of the distinction. And I haven't heard, in fact, comments arguing against that relevance. We would not do it because it would not be possible to achieve a faithful representation through definition and guidance. But the relevance, I haven't heard any argument against it. So I think it's important to keep things in the right order.
Nick?
I'm just a little concerned that the sort of we're now sort of extending this debate, which wasn't the intention of, wasn't in the papers about distinction between integral and non-integral, and that we're going to start redrafting something that's been circulated on several occasions. And I'm just wary that we're just building more effort than is needed into this and extending timelines.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's move to the next one.